Hello and welcome. I'm laughing because this is maybe the third time that I have attempted to even try to record this episode because I wanted the audio to be stronger. And now that the audio is strong, it's like, okay, let's get started on the third try. But the reason I wanted to record this episode is because I have been talking a lot to my friends and my family, and what I've wanted to talk to them about is this idea of what peak spiritual health looks like. And I wanted to bring up the idea because I felt like what's considered normal, like a regimen of like prayer, and a regimen of reading. And a regimen of program attendance. I felt like all of a sudden I could see that even in my attempts to pursue peak physical health, I had the standard for it. I had an idea of what it looked like for me to put in good effort. I had an idea of what effort was good enough. I had an idea of what consistency was appropriate for what I wanted to do. I had an idea of what frequency was appropriate for what I wanted to do. I have every intention of raising the bar so that I can be stronger, so that I can be more fit, so that I can experience more of the fruit of health and fitness. And every caveat or environment in my life, I could see why or how I could benefit from physical health. And one day I realized I did not have a single standard for my spiritual health. And I knew that in the same way that I would think to myself, like, oh, this is what I want to accomplish. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to be strong enough to be able to do. This is what I want to be, able to do within my body. There were so many things in my spiritual health, that even though I might have had like loose ideas of things I wanted to be able to do, I wasn't strong enough to do it. And I had become, even though I have believed for a while, I realized I was not strong. And I realized I wasn't strong when I would go through some sort of attack, and it was absolutely completely disorienting. And I would almost lose myself in the attack because of how fragile I really was. And I was thinking to myself, like, man, what does it even look like to have peak spiritual health? Like, is there an image of it I could see? And I really had felt like I've seen people be diligent in different areas, but the regimen, a pursuit of health, a pursuit of peak spiritual health, that's not a conversation I've ever been a part of. And I was like, man, like, what does that look like? So I called a friend and I was like, yo, what does it look like to have peak spiritual health? She was like, oh. And we literally, like, I can call her and that we just start the conversation there because she's one of them. But I was just like, man, like, do you know? What do you see? And she was like, I don't have big spiritual health. It doesn't mean I don't want to. I've simply never been asked the question until right now. And we started to talk about it, and we started to discuss it, and we started to think about what it would mean for us if we had peak spiritual health and we're responsible for the things we're currently responsible for. So right now she is in seminary and she's killing it. She also has a startup. And she's killing it. And I was just like, man, like, I also have responsibilities that are harder because of a lack of health. And I'm like, okay, let me figure this out. And so we kind of like tussle with it and wrestle with it. And I think we might have prayed by the time we got off the phone. We might not have, I don't remember. But I just remember like going to God and like just kind of like asking, and kind of allowing myself to acknowledge unhealth in me despite acknowledging full belief. And I think that that was the first step for me. Like, okay, I've believed for a while, but I think that especially growing up and when you get to be a physically young Christian while you are a spiritually young Christian, people are so nervous that you will defect. People are so nervous about you deconstructing that they kind of start to entertain you. And they start, you know, trying to make sure you feel comfortable. They start trying to make sure, you know, you feel loved on. And while those things are cool, and they, you know, sometimes there's even like this plethora of programming, but the programming isn't necessarily to create health. It's more so to create community. So you know that you have an environment where people believe where you believe. And even though the world might be vying for your attention and for your affections, like you can get attention and affections here in a multitude of ways. And so as loving as that is, and as supportive as that doesn't necessarily build the foundation or the infrastructure for a lifetime of health. And I am of the school of thought that you don't get to keep people. I know that I don't get to keep people. And so if I met a teen and they were recently saved, I would speak to them like they're probably going to be sent away from me at some point. And while you're with me, while we're engaging together, I have to prepare you for where you're going, because this is likely not the final destination. And you're also going to have different roles and different functions and different challenges that can allow you to leverage me, but depending on me, probably won't be an option. And so I would like to imagine a world or a time in which we are able to prioritize the deploying of people and the preparation of people, instead of having a conversation about entertaining people to keep them near. Because you can keep people near and still disciple them. You can keep people near and still prepare them. And it creates a greater stability in them. And it can create a deeper connection and intimacy emotionally and spiritually as well. And so I say all of that to say, like, it was jarring as it was, truly jarring, as jarring as it was to realize that I was struggling with spiritual immaturity for so long because of a lack of health regimen as it pertained to spiritual health was tough. But it was a necessary revelation about what needs to happen next. And so I think one of the reasons I realized that how important this was going to be was because of, yes, like the fact that like a challenge would come and it would kind of wreck me. It would kind of wreck me for a good while. And I would have to pray and read myself out of a hole, but not realizing how empty I was until I went ahead and tried to kind of like replenish what I overspent trying to survive whatever the spiritual attack was or the challenge was. And I think at one point in time, when I was in the process of trying to figure out what my standard should be, I realized that I wanted to be spiritually strong enough for the roles that I had, you know. So I am a daughter, I am a sister, I am a friend, I also am a wife, I also am a mother, I also am a founder, and I am a professional. And so in all of the ways that I interact with people or engage with people, I wanted to be able to be a use or a help to them in those ways. And I wanted them to feel like, because of the way that I interacted with them, because of the way that I served them, that God pursued them. And I was like, okay, is that true in the way that I'm currently carrying myself? Is that true in the way that I'm currently doing things? And so it was like, not really. So I was like, that's not good. So I was like, okay, so that's one area, one aspect of it. And at one point I had looked up spiritual warfare, defensive and offensive. And I realized that a lot of what I was doing fell into the defensive category. So it's kind of like protecting your environment, protecting your space. But I wasn't even maximizing the fullness of a defense as it pertained to spiritual health. And I almost never was veering into the offense of spiritual health. And so the defense of spiritual health, what I came to understand was being able to kind of protect your territory and make your territory a dangerous environment for your enemy. Let's rest with that. Make your territory a dangerous environment for your enemy, if I were to put it briefly. But your offensive would be to be so dangerous that you can go into the enemy's territory and take back or take from them what you would now like to add to your territory. Simply as I as simple as I could like put it. And I realized I wasn't healthy enough to do the one, let alone the both. And it, based on what I had desired, I wanted to be able to have this podcast. I wanted to be able to also have a blog, and I wanted to be able to kind of like really enjoy the fullness of fellowship. But if I am a timid and an uninformed and like unfocused believer who is also so vulnerable because of her emptiness, I was going to be in trouble, and I was going to constantly struggle with the areas that I needed to be submitting to God, that God finishes in me, when you're strong, because there is what he finishes because he left room for himself. But then there are the things like you're still fragile, even though he's a strengthener. You should have never been that fragile. So I realized, I was like, okay, so this has to be a priority for a multitude of reasons. But one is like hard to function, spiritually immature and fragile and empty. But two, you're not of enough good when you're empty like that, when you're fragile like that, when you rest in immaturity and kind of allow yourself to kind of continue to persist and go throughout the world. You make yourself very, very vulnerable. So I started to figure out what it would look like for me to build out a new baseline. And I think that I had started with what was normal for an American Christian, a good American Christian, if you will. And I realized that that's what I had been doing all this time. And it didn't serve me well enough. I wasn't strong enough. I wasn't equipped enough. I didn't know enough of my word. I didn't have enough relationships. I didn't have enough community. I was like, this is not enough, and I'm not going to be able to survive off the candied programming that sometimes are surrounding women, or just around having your family in a church. I was like, this is not enough. It's sometimes it's unfocused. Sometimes it's not grounded enough. Sometimes we aren't talking enough about the truth. Sometimes there's not a moment or a situation where people even are convicted and they feel like they need to go home and work on themselves with the Lord, and submit themselves to him. And sometimes we even forget about the reality of sin. I was like, this is not working. And so I found some teachers, and I started to study, and I started to read, and I started to seek in praying. And in fellowship and in relationship, I've grown. And I feel like I know, not just know more, because that's not enough either. It's not enough either to kind of attack spiritual health with an academic perspective. I'm trying to find the words for this. In reading, there's a help in the Holy Spirit to understand the text. My bad, my watch is like going off. In reading, there is this ability to understand the text with the help of the Holy Spirit. When you understand a text, it's like the Word of God becomes alive for you. And instead of reading the text and seeing what you should do, instead of reading the text and figuring out what's right and what's wrong, explicitly, even though that happens. You learn more about a trustworthy father who is protecting you and covering you and loving you well, regardless of whether or not you're aware of it. And in that, there is a gentleness, there is a firmness, and there is a stability that is available. And when you know him, and when you speak to him, and when you listen to him, there is something that happens that changes you. It improves you. It refines you. It makes you a dangerous territory. And in order for us all to feel the strength, the stabilizing strength that's possible when you seek, when you allow yourself to be refined, when you aren't just enduring pruning, but you are even pruning yourself even, and not waiting until you're in crisis to come, you gain so much more. A lot of the time, they feel like intangibles. And a lot of the times, you have to use spiritual language to describe them. But life changes. I say all that to say, in this environment, on this podcast, not only are we talking about the intersection of life and womanhood and faith, that's the crux of what we're talking about, but we're also having a conversation about building resilient leaders out of Christian women. And I know that so often when we have a conversation about womanhood in the context of faith, we're obsessed with the male's position. We're obsessed with it. We're obsessed with the male's position. You know, we're obsessed with their authority, like we aren't leaders in our own right. And our obsession and distraction with who they are and who they're called to, and our constant misunderstanding of the kind of weight that rests on them, makes us covet their position and ignore the weight and the seriousness of our own, oftentimes. And one thing that I'm excited about as it pertains to this podcast and its pivot or its transitions from being the Kingdom Talks podcast to being the Baseline podcast is using this environment to not only glorify God and to not only be an intersection of womanhood and faith and the various aspects of that persist, but I'm excited about using this environment to also build a stronger floor for what Christian womanhood looks like in lifestyle, what Christian womanhood looks like in spiritual health, fitness, and allowing us to set a higher bar than what Christian culture will oftentimes even acknowledge or allow for. Because over time, I've realized the floor is not stable enough to help us endure deconstruction. The floor is not stable enough for us to endure trial. The floor is not stable enough to help us endure wickedness. The floor is not stable enough for warfare. And in order for us to be able to operate in both places at the same time, for us to be able to operate at home and cover it in prayer, in order for us to go to work and walk past unclean spirits kind of convulsing, in order to go to work and minister in the way that we operate in our presence and our stature, but also with our words, in order for that to be possible, we just have to be stronger. We just have to be honest. We just have to like pursue truth and wear it and walk in it. And instead of kind of swapping one mask for another, allowing there to be some stability in our face so that when people look at us, they see Christ. And so I'm excited about that. And that kind of is like the foundation for what we're about to see from this podcast now called Baseline. It is helping build or rebuild the standard that is going to sustain resilient Christian women, transforming them into the leaders of their lives. But I'm excited about it because there's a lot of fun content in the pipeline already, but I can't publish it without having some of these conversations first, where we're talking about the priority here. So that's one. And two, I wanted to make sure that I acknowledged what we're doing in the room as I change and as I evolve and as I grow. And that's what we're doing. And as different resources become available, I've been working on some cool resources that help with study, that help with like managing the day-to-day of maximizing peak spiritual health. And I'm really excited about what that's gonna do for the women who are in that pursuit. And so I'm grateful that I was able to articulate this. Of all three takes, without a shadow of a doubt, this was the best one. The ones without real notes, or the ones with the note that I have internalized, are always the best episodes. Anytime I have like a bullet list in front of me, it's a wrap. I'm going to have to re-record that, which is crazy because in my mind, that's just being prepared, but I digress. Until next time.